friends, this is Pastor Clarence William Page. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am the pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in High Point, North Carolina, as well as the speaker and minister on the Light to Guide Our Feet broadcast. It is good to be with you this day. I pray that things are well. It is the year 2025. 2025. Of course, when you participate in this worship service, it may be some other year, but the Lord's word will be good and totally true wherever and whenever you participate. I call your attention to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, the reading begins at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Reading once again, Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 6, Isaiah 6, 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Friends, let's return to Isaiah chapter 6 and read verse 3. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. For a few minutes, my friends, let's commune together in worship under the topic holy. H-O-L-Y. Holy. I would not try to give you the total definitive definition of holy. But we know that God is holy, that the angels are holy, that the saints are holy, that the sanctuary of God is holy. We are to worship him in the beauty of holiness. If you would turn to Psalm 29 in your Bible, Psalm 29, verse 1 says, Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Again, Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. In Psalm 96, if you would turn to Psalm 96 in your Holy Bible, in Psalm 96, verse 9, we read the following. Psalm 96, verse 9. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. We read also in verse 6 of Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verse 6. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Psalm 96, verse 6. And again, Psalm 96, verse 9 says, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Psalm 96, verse 9. The various other scriptures, for example, in First Chronicles, in the Holy Bible, in First Chronicles, chapter 16, in First Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 16, verse 29 says, Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Again, let me read that once again. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. I would be perhaps remiss and incomplete if I tried to tell you exactly how to worship God. But I do want to give you my understanding of what holy means. My understanding of what holiness means is sacred. And the Bible lets us know that the sanctuary of God is sacred. It's set aside. It's different than the regular secular places and things. It's hallowed. It's dedicated to holiness. It's dedicated to God. It is set aside. It is higher than normal things. When I say higher, of more honor, of more glory, because it is the sanctuary of God. As Christians, we have various ways of worshiping God, and different denominations worship differently. I try to always reverence God. I have a healthy fear of God, and I have a reverence for him. And when I worship him, I will worship him in that way. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God is the highest, the majestic, the holy, the dedicated, the honorable. He is Almighty God. He is the exalted. And we are to exalt him. He is splendorous. We are to adorn him with praise. And we are to recognize who he is and who we are. A sacred place, Kodesh in the Hebrew language. Holiness. Holiness is set out by a word, Kodesh, sacred, holy. The Hebrew language has Kadosh, holy, devoted, dedicated, holy, honorable. What this does for me is when I come to worship God, that's the atmosphere I expect to worship him in. A holy atmosphere, a hallowed atmosphere, a dedicated atmosphere, an atmosphere that demonstrates the majesty of God, where what is done there clearly shows that our worship is going to and is of or for the majestic God, the Almighty God, the God of heaven, the Creator, he who is from everlasting to everlasting, the eternal God, he who has no peers, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three in one. What do you expect when you go to worship God? When you enter a sanctuary, what do you expect? What do you expect the worship to be? I would say to you, my friend, don't let the atmosphere of one worship experience keep you from seeking the atmosphere of another. And here's what I mean. These days, and it has been for many centuries, various denominations worship variously. If you enter one that, in your estimation, as a child of God, is not presenting holy worship, is not worshiping God in a reverent way, is not showing the proper fear, healthy fear of Almighty God, don't let that stop you from seeking one in which you can worship. I think that is very important these days. There are so many ways and venues of worshiping. And our adversary would like to discourage you, because if you go to one and you say, well, that's not sacred worship, don't let that stop you. You keep looking until you find one that is. Ask the Lord to show you. And I understand if we go into a place that's supposed to be a sanctuary, but the worship doesn't seem to be sacred, if you are true in the Lord, you might not want to participate, because it will appear that you are agreeing with that worship motif. I've had those experiences. I want to praise God, but I want to worship Him in the atmosphere and spirit of holiness and of truth. And if I'm in a place where I'm not sure, and everyone is worshiping Him that way, but the Spirit of God in me is not agreeing with that, I often will not worship there. I might sit there through the service, but I will look for some place where it appears to me that God is being worshiped in reverence, where there's the proper fear of God. If you're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would say be very careful. Because when a saint comes in, a saint wants to worship. And it's so easy for us to slide. It appears we're on a slippery plane now. Sliding away from holiness. Sliding away from reverence, sliding away from the adornment of holiness in God, sliding away from the majesty of God, sliding away from the devotedness of the sanctuary, sliding away from the honorable presentation of our worship to God, sliding away from holiness, sliding away from sanctuary, sliding away from sacredness, sliding away from holy, sliding away. I won't try to tell you how to worship, but I will tell you that the Bible says God is holy. That the Bible says we are to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And that's what I try to do. And I believe that's the worship that He wants. The adversary is going to try to send in his motifs, his programs. And he's going to try to send them in such a way that it seems necessary for the church to adopt them. I believe that true Christians will be protective of the worship process, protective of the sanctuary, protective of the sacred place, protective of the hallowed place, protective of the holy atmosphere, H-O-L-Y, atmosphere, protective of the adornment of our worship and praise to God, protective of the very concept of the majesty of God, the all-powerful God, the holy God. And I think we would do well to return often to Isaiah chapter 6 and read verse 3. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Isaiah didn't miss the significance of it. Isaiah did not miss the significance of it. In verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 6, here's what he said. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. My friends, that's who we are worshiping. That's who we are serving. That's who God is, the King, the Lord of hosts. And we should worship him in great reverence, and proper fear. The Apostle Paul is very clear about that in the New Testament. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, Paul says it this way. In Hebrews chapter 12, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, here's what the Apostle Paul says. "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 28 and 29. Let me read that once again for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Once again, in Psalm 29 and 2, lest we forget, in Psalm 29 and 2, lest we forget, Psalm 29 and 2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29 and 2. In Psalm 96, 9. In Psalm 96, 9, which you and I read earlier, let's not forget Psalm 96, 9, which says, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Psalm 96, 9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Psalm 96, 9, and in Psalm 96, 6, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. That's Psalm 96, 6, which reads, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And we should always remember what Isaiah saw and heard and reported to us. Isaiah saw it, he heard it, and he reported it to us. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. My friends, our God is holy. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is holy. God the Father is holy. God the Son is holy. God the Holy Spirit is holy. And we ought to worship him in the beauty of holiness. And anybody who comes into our worship place should feel that holiness, should discern that holiness. Anyone who comes into our holy worship should be able to discern that we are worshiping the holy God in the beauty of holiness. Holy, holy, holy. Let us pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, help us who are saved to worship thee in the beauty of holiness. Help us to display the proper reverence for thee. Help us to project unto thee the proper adornment. Help us to show through our reverent worship of thee that we are worshiping Almighty God, the exalted God, the splendid God, the majestic God, the God that the Hebrew term Kodesh defines, the Hebrew term Kadosh defines. O Lord, help us, help us, help us, help us to worship thee acceptably with godly reverence. Godly reverence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Those of you who are Christians, please check your worship. Please check your worship and the worship of your church. Ask yourself, if a saint comes in, would that saint want to worship here? If an angel of heaven came in, would that angel be comfortable and approving of the worship we are giving to Almighty God? If an angel came in, is Jesus Christ approving of the worship we are giving Almighty God? Is the Holy Spirit approving of the worship we are giving Almighty God? Is God the Father himself approving of the worship we're giving him? As I will say, my friends, the adversary will try to send in many things to interrupt the holiness of your worship. The adversary will try to insert many things to interrupt, to water down, even destroy the holiness of your worship of the Holy God. Our God is holy, holy, holy. Church leaders, pastors, please, please make sure that your worship motif is such that when any holy person comes in, that holy person will feel comfortable in worshiping God there and joining in your worship. Because if the worship is not conducive to the worshiping of Almighty God, the Holy God, a saint of God, a saint of God may be in the place but feel out of place, may be in the place but feel out of place, because the worship is not holy, is not reverential, doesn't show the proper fear of God, because God is holy, holy, holy. Those of you who were not saved when you began listening to this particular worship service, if the Lord has touched your heart and saved you while this service was being offered unto God, once you know that you are saved, contact a Christian minister and our ministry. Request and receive Christian baptism. The Lord himself will send people to help you. And don't ever forget, our God is holy, 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 holy. And never allow the adversary to interdict that and water that down. Because he will give you many reasons. Well, we've got to let the people feel that they can come in and make them feel comfortable. Well, we've got to do this for the young people. We can't draw the young people unless we give them something that they understand from the outside. Like, we're going to have this kind of program or that kind of program. Very often, the adversary will present that logic and that kind of secular thing can interfere with the holiness and reverence that we must offer to God. We don't water it down. Salvation is free. It doesn't have to be watered down. God does not have to be watered down. We just give it as he presents it in his word. And if they don't accept it, it is not our obligation to water it. He gave it as low as it needs to be. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We don't need to water down what God has given. He knows what people understand. He made their minds. He made our minds. He knows they can understand it. He knows the enemy tries to blind their eyes. We don't water it down and bring in the enemy's programs. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We don't bring in the enemy's programs, the enemy's motifs. We don't bring in his secular dancing and all these kinds of things. And we got to have a hip-hop social. And we got to, no, we don't do that in the holy sanctuary. We do not do that in the holy sanctuary. We do not do that in the holy sanctuary. Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.